You might like to turn in your Bible, as we do in our study of Jeremiah, if you would, over to chapter 25. Jeremiah 25. And in our study, if you would just think about it for a minute, here we are sitting here. And all of the history we're looking at in Jeremiah in his day has already occurred. Christ has died on the cross, and the Daniel in chapter 2 and 31 to 44, 45, all of that has taken place, so that here we are in the feet of iron and clay, waiting for the toes of iron and clay. And the toes of iron and clay, the leadership, present leadership of the European community, they are looking to, that's their goal, the United States of Europe, similar to Switzerland, Germany, and the USA. They want to be the superpower. That's what they want to be, the United States of Europe. And they want to be that. So here we are, sitting here in history. And history is back here, and all of it has taken place, and it lies ahead of us. Now, and how much did you influence and do about history? What did you do about any of it? And yet you live in it, and you are in the middle of it, without doing anything, or even understanding anything. You're right in the middle of it, being traveling along. Now, if you just keep that in mind, it'll help you stay relevant as we're looking at Jeremiah. You need to keep that in mind. It's all, here we are, running our little worlds. But all of the time, all of it is taking place, and we don't have a thing to do with it in that sense. It's just happening. Therefore, in our study of Jeremiah, and in chapter 25, and chapter 25, by the way, ends the section on Jeremiah's ministry. So chapters 1 through 25, that's his ministry. Now you're going to go to another section as he fills in pieces. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God is judging Israel, as you know, and his judgment is going to be leveled by Nebuchadnezzar against the city, the temple, the people, and Jeremiah's ministry is in chapter, hold your finger here, and go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Because in Jeremiah chapter 25, he summarizes his whole ministry. And you need to see that by way of looking at Jeremiah in chapter 1. And picking up, if I can, in verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, said Jeremiah. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set this day, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. Your ministry by way of Jerusalem and its destruction is a ministry and message to the whole world. And you're gonna make sure, which is what we're doing, that the world understands. Now, back over to Jeremiah chapter 25. And in the process we shared last time, that Israel was duly warned of what would happen in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and chapter 28. That the God had made it very clear of what would happen, their future, if they would have heeded it, heard it, and heeded it, but they did not. They failed to do so. And so now, all of that history, all of that prophecy, all of that warning is now happening. And they could have paid attention, but they didn't. So now, here we are looking at that, and so God, here's Israel about to be with Nebuchadnezzar and destroying the city, etc. And in the light of that, and remember we shared the key to catching the whole flavor of this is in Isaiah 28 and that, where God tells us, it is a very strange thing that I do, strange work. Strange act. Strange means alien, distant, something unheard of, not foreign. Foreign is a good word. Unheard, strange. What's strange? We shared it last time. That God would judge his own people and judge himself. That God would do that. That's strange. Here are all the gods of the people, the nations, and their gods never do that in their imagination and thought process. They don't do that. But here is the real God actually judging himself, his own people, his own temple, his own city. That is unheard of. And therefore, very strange is the word. Now, and thus God gets that up front so that people would understand. Now, if God, Israel's God, would do that to himself, as it were, take heed of what he will do to that which is out of sync and out of whack with him. Therefore, Jeremiah chapter 25. If I can, picking up in thought, starting in verse 29. Chapter 25 and verse 29. It's a movement, we'll go through it. It's a sobering movement, to say the least. Very sobering. And God, remember now, this is a section that ends, and that's going to start another section. So, Jeremiah's ministry was to be to all the nations of the world. Israel was going to give a message that was needed to warn the world. Israel failed. The world could have paid attention. And the failure, Israel's failure, should have awakened the world, but it did not. Therefore, chapter 25, and in verse 29. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city. Remember, evil, bad, that which is unhealthy, unworthy, of no benefit. That's the word. It has no benefit. It has no use whatsoever, is the word. Bad, evil. Lo, I begin to bring evil on the city, which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished? And remember now, when we shared that last time a little bit, that's two verbs of the same kind, a little different kind. And it says something, and then it puts great emphasis, great certainty to whatever the word means. It means, here we are looking, punished, punishment. To be unpunished, not to be punished at all. We know we'll never be punished with great certainty intensity. We'll never be punished. Hang on to that. Ye shall not be unpunished. On the contrary, you are going to be, you are not going to be excluded, put aside, be neutralized. In other words, you aren't going to be involved. Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. So, here we are looking, and they're going to say, well, it's never going to happen to us. Never going to happen to us. Now, so therefore, we're going to go over, if we can, into verse 30. And verse 30 in chapter. And, well, I'll pick it up here in verse 30. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, Lord, the Lord shall roar out of from on high. Here's the word roar. Just think of a lion. We're going to hit that. He has an illustration. The first part of the thing is what? Emphasis is what? He's going to give a cup of fury, a cup of wrath to every nation, and they all are surely going to drink it. There's no one that can avoid drinking what God is going to give. No one. Hang on to that. No one. There's no exceptions of humans, of nations. And now he changes the illustration. And this section has to do with the nations and the leadership of the nations. And he is a lion. He is as a lion. The lamb is a lion of the tribe of Judah. And in the light of that, he roars. He roars with great power. He roars, he cries out from on high, his high, holy, heavenly place, and utters his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar, mightily strong. There's again intensity. With great certainty, with great strength, he will roar upon his habitation. Just think of a lion really letting it out. Wow. A roar. And he shall mightily roar upon his habitation. The lion is going to look at Jerusalem and the city and the people, and he's going to let out a loud roar and judge them. That's what he's going to do. Wow. He's going to give him a cup to drink, and he's going to let him know he is angry. Therefore, he'll shout as they that tread the grapes, they shout against all the inhabitants of the earth, all the inhabitants of the earth. And verse 31, against all of the inhabitants now, there's no question. So when we read verse 31, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, a noise, a great turmoil, tumult, clamor, a noise reaching. There's going to be a rumbling, a noise. He's the lion that's going to roar. And he roars, and earth, pay attention. And that roar is going to be carried prophetically through history. So if you think God is indifferent and doesn't care and won't do anything, like in Malachi 2:17, even after all of the judgment of Nebuchadnezzar, after another 100-something years, what do we have? Where is the God of judgment? Now, why would an Israelite say that? But they forget. They forget. We all forget. We all forget yesterday, and we not in a general way. We all forget, and it disappears, and we repeat history. Now, so here we are in verse 30, and none shall come even to the ends of the earth. None shall come. All the way come, to move forward. None shall come to the ends of the earth. And therefore, the Lord has a controversy, a pursuit, a lawsuit, a case to bring charges against Israel, nations, Israel and the nations. He has a controversy with the nations, and he will plead, he will enter into a judgment with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. And all the time you're going to keep repeating, the weapon is sword, 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 sword. And remember the Lord, the sword of the Spirit is the what? Is the word of God. The Christ comes out of heaven and he speaks the word, and out of his mouth comes the sword of his word. God speaks like a sword. Out it comes. Now, and then God, how does it all work? Normally, back then, he doesn't use anti-aircraft guns and stuff, because the sword was the main weapon, and that's what they used. When Joshua was, before he went into the land, they all used their sword, and the Lord, chapter 5, Joshua, he has his sword drawn. Sword is the weapon of choice to demonstrate. Therefore, hang on to that. It'll come a little clearer. Verse 32. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind storm shall be raised up from the coast of the earth, from the ends of the earth. In other words, things are going to happen. And we're going to go, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to get clipped by Media Persia. Media Persia is going to get clipped by Greece. Greece is going to get clipped by Rome. And God is going to clip all of it. The feet toe, by way of the toes of iron and clay, he's going to go all the way up to all of the nations, including Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, etc. He's going to judge them all. All of them are going to be judged. And in the process, but when we come to the tribulation, we have all of that. So we have all of the movement of sword, one nation conquering another nation, and we have wars and rumors of wars coming up. And in the process of that, in the tribulation, there's all kinds of conflict. Even when the Antichrist signs the treaty with Israel for 7 years, Daniel 9:27, he signs it. Even though he signs it, he confirms the covenant. That means with strength, with power. He got opposition. Here's the Arabs over here, and someone else is over here, and he's going to have Israel be able to build the temple up on the mount. And wow, but there's a whole lot of turmoil going on. In one way or another. And then all it does after the three, when he really rises up at the end, after 3.5 years in the temple with his image, boy, you don't want to be on earth at that time. You don't want to be on earth. Wow. That's tough. Now, but here we are. So here we are looking, God, and you're going to tell us that evil is going to go forth. And remember evil, if you would, over in, you'll pick it up in Isaiah 45, just to remind yourself when we say evil. Because evil, you need to understand evil. Remember Adam and Eve, when they took of the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. They didn't even know what evil was until they did that. But God knew, because he gave angels a choice, and they gave up the good and ended up discovering evil by way of Lucifer, son of the morning, Satan. Adam and Eve are given choice. And they made a bad choice and took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they knew evil. What is evil? Evil is that bad, that which is unprofitable, unworthy. And God, chapter 45, as you know, verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I allow something to exist, a condition where I am absent of my in my goodness and in my grace. I allow that condition to exist so that you have to make a choice. And if you choose to leave me out, I'm the only God and only Savior. If you choose to leave me out, I want you to know what it's going to be like. That's evil. You chose to go against me. You're going to know evil. Evil is that kind of life without God, without His good, without His grace, without His light, in a state of death, in a state of darkness, in a state of evil. Evil everywhere. And you know from Mark 7 and Galatians 5 of our own nature, our own heart is evil. Our old nature, that's wonderful to see that. Why is it wonderful to see that? Because they don't have to go and beat yourself up for the lousy stuff you think, say, and do. You don't have to do it. It's part of your nature. So what do you, if a skunk comes along and the skunk is disturbed, the skunk could let you know that he's disturbed, couldn't he? He could let you know it. And he's just being a skunk. He isn't picking on you. He's just reacting. He's being skunky. That's what he's doing. Now, God, all we're doing is doing and expressing our own nature. It's everywhere. Our head, thought, word, deed, our dreams, our aspirations, our humanity, our country, our world, our humans. That's what we are. And we try to modify it and by laws and mores and standards of trying to act right within reason from a human standpoint. We do all of that, but we don't want to beat ourselves up. If they start doing that and you're trying to beat up your old nature, and you can't beat up your old nature, we shared it on Sunday or whatever, your old nature is crucified. That's the only way you can handle it. It's God says, I'm done with it. And you and I need to be done with it. So we don't go over and over and pick yourself up. Why do I worry and want? And then I think bad thoughts and I do this and do that. And the more you play with that, the more it happens. But you thank God that it's free. You're free. Now, having said that, that's evil. And God, so there we are back over to Jeremiah. And evil is part of the system. It belongs to the world system. And in chapter 31, God has a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked, wicked evil to the sword, saith the Lord. Verse 32. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation. It's just going to keep going, one after another. When does it quit? When does it quit? When does China quit? When does Iran quit? When does anyone quit? Verse 32. Then saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast, the earth, ends of the earth, verse 33. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, unlamented. They shall neither be gathered, they'll never be gathered up, nor unburied, they'll be nor buried, unburied, they're going to stay unburied, ungathered, unlamented. No mourning, no sadness. They shall be dung upon the ground. That's the world in the tribulation, how God sees it. He said, that's what's coming up. What part of the world do you want to go to that you think it'll be clean? What part of the world do you want to go to that I didn't judge? I judged all of it. I told you I would. Hang on. Now, so therefore, if I can, verse 35. In verse 35, picking up these in thought. Verse 33, gather one end. Now, verse 34 now begins with the shepherds or the leadership. So verse 34 to verse 38, here's all the nations and all the humans, and now you're going to look at the leadership, the kings, the potentates, the rulers, whoever they are, that's running the nations. Who's governing and guiding the nations? That's verse 34. Howl, cry out, ye shepherds, leaders, chief people, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, roll in the ashes in repentance, in sorrow. Remember, what do they do when you have deep sorrow? The activity of people back in there, and probably still today, to roll and get to put mourn and lament and show your lamenting by all kinds of emotional and such things as rolling in the dirt or something. Now, in verse 34, wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal, the leadership of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersion are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the word pleasant is costly like. You wouldn't break that power, that position. You wouldn't let that break, would you? God, you wouldn't touch that. God said, yes, I would. I touched my own temple. I touched my own city. If you think you got things that shouldn't be touched, like Babylon, Revelation 18, what do we know? They stand back and cry out. Could such a place as Babylon in the future, could such a place be judged by God? Is that possible? And it was. Wow. Now, therefore, verse 35. And the shepherds shall have no way to flee. Where are you going to run? No place to run. And Noah, the principal leadership of the flock, to escape. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to run. The whole earth from nation to nation is being moved and motivated. And the wrath of God is being leveled. The cup that they didn't want to drink of, they said, we'll never, never do it. They are all having to do it. No one has exception. None whatsoever. I'll give you that in a little different way. People can say and do whatever they want, and they will. There's no question about it. But the day your heart stops beating, and whatever you thought wouldn't be or couldn't be, you better take heed now, because God forewarned you of what's going to be. Say, no, won't be, no, it won't be. Ah, it will be. It will be, but it won't be. And that's what the nations, it won't be, but it will be. Therefore, if I can, no escape, no running away. Verse 36, a voice of the cry of the shepherds, the leadership, and an howling of the principal, the chief people of the flock, shall be heard, for the Lord has spoiled their pasture. That means pasture is where they got rich. They had the business, they had their government, they had that. Just think of the things that are going on in our country that are being mentioned, and all over the world. We give billions of dollars, probably, all over the world to people, and in crises and that. And the great problem, I guess, and understandably, is that when you give millions of dollars to help the people in a given crisis or whatever, the people grab the money and only a few dollars goes to where it counts. And that's how people get rich in the countries now, Africa, etc. Now, picking up, please, therefore, verse 37. And the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. In other words, God's going to, all the good things and the Babylon and coming up, chapter 18, Revelation, all of those wonderful things are going to be spoiled. And all the things that you thought you had this and have that, and no matter what you have, it won't matter. At that day, it won't matter. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this judgment. You brought nothing in, and you are certain you're going to bring what? Nothing out. We said it on Sunday. Job said, naked came I into the world, and you can be sure I'm going out naked. I bring nothing in, I take nothing out. Wow. Now, so God, here we are, and you're giving warning to the nations. Would any of them heed? Is Babylon going to heed? No, Babylon's going to keep doing what it does, and Nebuchadnezzar's going to be replaced, and in the Belshazzar and that, what are you going to do? You're going to do evil, evil. That's what you're going to do. And then Media Persia comes in. Now, verse 38, and God hath forsaken his covert. Think of a lion now, as the lion for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. Now the lion has a den and a home where he lives. But when the lion looks at his own home has been destroyed and the lion roars, at that and the fierceness of his anger, because the lion has to find a new home. God destroys his city and gives it up. And the Jews are there now, but they in unbelief, but they're there. And God had to give it up, his place, his city, his chosen place. Had to give it up like the lion. And he's not happy. Not happy about it at all. And the whole world's going to get clipped. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of all of that, over to, if you would, remember Israel doesn't pay much attention to things, over to Jeremiah and chapter 9. Jeremiah and chapter 9, picking up in thought, if I may. And allow me to go, chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 3. And they bent their tongues like their bow with lies, for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. They didn't want the truth. They were the God of truth, but they didn't want to know the truth or be the truth. They were not valiant for truth, not strong for truth upon the earth. And therefore the nations did not see God. They saw a God who, looking at Israel, they profaned his name among the people, and the people could walk at Nebuchadnezzar and all the nations thereafter up into the tribulation are going to walk all over Israel. Wow, that's what they're going to do. Valiant for the truth, the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. All it goes is from bad to worse. All it goes, that's what it does. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, going from bad to worse, over to Ezekiel and chapter 18. And we want to add, in the light of the sobering, if you stop and think about it, the whole earth is being judged, and it's not a picnic at all. coming up. We're just traveling down the road. But the ten toes sound very far in front of us here. Chapter 18, Ezekiel. Now, God judging people. You fear equal God in your judgment? Absolutely. So a father, a son, mother, father, daughter, it doesn't make any difference. Everyone is judged individually. That's what God does. Now, and having said that, therefore, God, what are you looking for? Well, may I pick up, please, in verse 14. Now, lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he had done, and considereth and doeth not such like, if he doesn't do that, he's going to see other, and he repeats, and he's either going to go, and verse 15, of that, well, I got to move forward for time's sake. In verse 7, well, we can't even do that. Going to slide all the way over. Allow me, forgive me. I can't touch it. Verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all in the light of good guy, bad guy? You could have a bad father and be a good son, and you could be a good father and have a bad son. Every human being is different. They're all individuals. They all do what they do, no matter how you cut the cookie. Cain, you would think if anyone had the advantage, Cain should have. If anyone should have had advantage, Cain should have, without any question. Now, so here in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked, evil, should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? I have no pleasure. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I do in the death of my saints, but I have none in the death of the wicked. So you're going to judge the whole world. I am. I have no pleasure in it. The end of verse 8, chapter 18, verse 32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. I don't want anyone to have to do that. Now, God, what did you do that is so sobering? I went, what is the key to this strange work? God, even all of this judgment. Well, God said, before I created anything or anyone, I created all you humans. In my head and my heart, I had them. And I, God, in my triunity, three in one, one in three, wonderfulness of my essence and nature and being, I went, and my Son, God the Son, went and volunteered to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he was willing and did, chose, A, to create, allow the sin to happen, otherwise it couldn't, yet there'd be no choice, it has to be choice. And I'm going to allow all that to happen. And I'm going to, everyone that I have in my mind of all human beings, from Adam down to the last person in the millennium, I have them all in mind, and I died for them. I died for them. So when I create them, they're dead in trespasses and sin, but I am, and Romans chapter 1, etc., I make myself known to every human being that is born on the face of the earth. Verse 19, 20, 21. I do that. So that every little boy, every little girl that's ever born knows that kangaroos aren't God, and totem poles aren't God, and philosophy isn't God, and people aren't God. They all know that. Now, what they do with it, as we've shared 1,000 times, is something else. The adult world takes over. But I want you to know I died for them, and I wanted to save them. I made myself personally known to them to save them of who I was. Now, when they reject me, do you understand John 3 and 36? If you don't believe, verse 36, the wrath of God right now, present tense, is abiding what? On top of you. Is that strange? Yes. But really not strange. Because you see, Christ died for you already. He paid an awesome price to take all of your sin in his own body in the tree. And then people just scrap it out. God said, if you think I'm going to let it all go, because you're responsible. I created you. I'm the creator. I'm the savior. I'm the judge. And I did everything possible for you to be saved. And you chose not to be. Therefore, if I judge you, judge me not. Judge me not for what I do. And God's going to do it. And here we are. History's taking place. The clock's going. The calendar's going. And here we are on a planet Earth in the feet of iron and clay, headed to the United States of Europe, the 10 horns, the 10 toes. Wow. And going down. And God, you're doing all that. And in the process, what? Well, God, you said, over in closing, over to Matthew. I hope you got a little bit. It's sobering, wonderfully sobering. Why do I say that? Because if you have anything going in your head, dreams, aspirations, or whatever you do in your head to think about, and you're looking for the future, depending how old you are and how whatever, and you're looking to the future and whatever, and so you're doing all that and doing that now, and you have that, understandably, in looking to the future. But we want to understand, God, that the future is happening all around us. The present is becoming the present. The present is leading the way into the future. Every heart, every nation, every bank robbery, every evil court, every decision by government, by people, by medicine, by science, by war, rumors of wars, all of it's taking place. And here we are on planet Earth. And God, we're looking to you. So God, as we look to you, we have to understand that we're part of it. And God, we're part of it. But you did something wonderful. We came to know you as our Lord and Savior. We realized, because you told us in your word, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You told us if we believe, we're condemned. If we don't believe, we're condemned already. But if we do believe, we're not condemned. We're not condemned anymore. In fact, John 5, we've passed from what? From death unto life. We have a wonderful position in an awesome occupation, being his witnesses, telling about the light and the future. We ought to be at the very minimum knowing and understanding as history takes place, so that we are not panicking, we're not frustrated, and we're able to be a tranquilizing person to people that want comfort, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. To be able to give hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory. To be able to give that hope. And therefore, Matthew 26, picking up, please, in verse 38. Then saith the Lord Jesus, Garden of Gethsemane, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He goes in the garden, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup of wrath, verse 39. Let this cup pass from me. I don't want to have to drink this. I'm the sinless Son of God in my perfect humanity. That's right. That's why you were born, to die. Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That's what I want, God. I want my will. My will is your will. Your will before the foundation of anyone was to die in the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That is your will. And we took advantage of it when we came to know the Lord as our Savior. And here we are in history, human, outworking it all in this very special spot in history. We could have been born in the days before the Lord was born. We could have been born before the days of John the Baptist, but that wouldn't have been too good. And we could have been born in the days of all kinds of things. The Inquisition, that's sort of tough, Inquisition. No, we weren't. We were born now. And God, in a day of apostasy, and the people don't want to hear, don't want to understand. But boy, we are sitting quite comfortable, God. Here we are. Absent from the body and what? Present with the Lord. Here we are. God, it's a wonderful thing. And Jeremiah, that was your assignment, to put the modus out in chapter 25, Jeremiah 25, to give your final instructions. Your assignment was to tell the whole world by way of Israel that all of these nations, and if God is going to condemn his son and judge his son, you can be sure as shooting. He's going to judge humans who he died for. You can count on it. Wonderful. And that sets us free, because then you and I, no matter how we flunk out in every old which way, but God saves us in his grace. And we aren't saved because of our old nature. We're saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. And when you received him as your Savior, God gave you the wonderful, wonderful assurance. You have passed from death unto what? Unto life.